Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on Israel News Talk Radio. Let me first say good morning, good evening to people listening in from the U.S. Boker Tov, Eretz Israel. Good morning, good evening, Canada. Doing some really moral things this week. Very nice, Canada. The UK, Germany's listening in. Panama, we have. Belgium, Australia. And good morning, Argentina. Listen, chat room is open. You know the drill. If you're listening in this morning, please send me a note. Tell me where you're listening in from. And I will be very happy to both hear it and share it. Today, this morning, marks the beginning, actually sundown last night. Well, not sundown, sometime this morning, begins the beginning of the three-week period. Today is Shvasre Shel Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz. It is a fast day that indicates the beginning of the three-week period leading up to Tisha B'Av, which commemorates the destruction of the temples. And we're going to speak a lot more about that, not today, probably next week. But just telling you, things are beginning to get a little bit low-key, as though things could be even more low-key in our COVID-19 world. But a lot to learn. You're at the right station. You're listening to the right people. And that is it. Today, we're also going to talk about, aside from keeping it a little low-key and reflecting on what's going on, where do we go from here, our humanism and the role of one another in each other's world, we are going to talk about Pinchas, Parsha Pinchas, the portion of the Torah that describes zealotry. And there are so many correlations to what's flying in the world today, who we are with one another, where do our passions find a nice landing pad, and where do our passions become inappropriate, ugly, and community destroying? Lots to talk about today, lots of reflection. And this is Andrea Simintov. Guess what? See you on the other side.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, Pull Up a Chair, IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I'm going to mention this now at the beginning of the show, perhaps later on, if my growing senility will let me know. I put together something called a contentment checklist. Andrea's contentment checklist. It's something I work on. It's honed, paired, altered time to time, but basically it's my ABCs for living a cheerful, perky, happy existence. Keep it posted up. I send it out to friends. I use it in my coaching practice. So if you would like a copy of this checklist, please write to me, Andrea, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Just put in the subject line checklist and I will send it to you. And perhaps at a later date, we will go over some of the points together. All right. Boy, that was a lot of news, wasn't that? Okay, so much news in a world where everybody's locked up behind doors. Okay, listen, this first note, we'll get to the three-week period in a second, but look, guys, you know where I stand. To my Jewish friends listening in, and to my non-Jewish dear friends who are listening in and care passionately about the new Jewish people, please give your Jewish friends a knock on the head. And maybe it takes sometimes an outsider to tell Jews to stop deluding themselves. We know after this, we know that prior to the Second World War, many Jews were indeed practicing willful blindness while their not Jewish friends were helping them work behind the scenes. Not all, we're not debating that today, but I'm telling this. You know where I stand in terms of the galut, the exile for the Jewish people. Living outside of the land of Israel was designed to be a temporary move, not forever. Indeed, those of us who are Reform, Reconstructionist, Orthodox, Conservative, non-affiliated, if you read the words of the various tefillot, the prayers, we talk about returning an end to the exile. It's all there. It doesn't mean that some of the words, it's not one of those menus, take one from column B and one from column and two from column A. It doesn't work like that. We are witnessing, while it's not an unprecedented wave of staggeringly ugly anti-Semitism, some of you send me videos. Thank you, of rallies in Brooklyn with language of with. I have to tell you, I only watch them partially. I need to protect myself. I need to spare myself. I cannot sit in this bath of ugly 24/7. The kind of Jew bashing, ludicrous accusations against that keep me scratching my head because I want to know where my rich, crazy, controlling crowd is. I could use a little piece of the action. Anyway, for any Jew who watches this stuff or instead turns the channel and says, this has nothing to do with me, you know, I got to tell you, last time I looked, it really does. It's all about you. There are so few of us, and yet they are obsessed. Anyway, the hand-wringing posts by Jews, especially those who claim to be observant Jews, those who are, you know, intimately involved and care about the future of Israel, and they talk and they even send their children here for a year, and yet they remain living in Flatbush, living in Lakeview, living in Los Angeles, living all over, and they wring their hands and they talk about how terrible it is, and then they sing Am Yisrael Chai. I'm going to say it the way it is. It's embarrassing. What are you waiting for? You know, there's a song from West Side Story. We all know the song. Dare I, at this crap of dawn here in Israel, bore you and tell you, there's a place for us. You know, during COVID, the place for all of us in this tapestry of human existence is a place indeed of fantasy, because nowhere has it been unaffected. But for Jews under siege, there's a place for you. It's Gan Eden. It's a Garden of Eden on earth. A flawed Garden of Eden, an imperfect Garden of Eden, a testy, irascible, annoying, still people smoking Garden of Eden. It's waiting for you and your input. Okay, so I've given you my, all right, I've given you my spiel, my morning spiel. Okay, here we go. So I sang you my song. I'm looking at my notes. First of all, Mazel Tov to Chana, our regular listener to Chana. Her son got married this week. Am I allowed to tell everybody that, Chana? I wasn't invited, but I wasn't hurt. I put that past us. Okay. Contentment checklist. Send it to me. Oh, yeah. One other thing, people. Cut the smug. Let's cut it now. All of us say, well, you know what? In our arrogance, we say, we are defending ourselves against COVID. We're locked up. We're wearing our masks. We are also vulnerable. And it's very easy to read the news, which is designed to sell papers, to sell to turn the channel, watch my show, listen to me. But the fact is, when it went down, when the COVID went down, when the numbers went down in the Haredi neighborhoods, the ultra-Orthodox neighborhoods, we said, aha, they're listening. When it went up in the Arab neighborhoods, there were those of us saying, huh, well, what do you expect of Arabs? How vile can we be? And then when it started to infiltrate the secular, educated neighborhoods who fight, the anti-vaccine neighborhoods, the neighborhoods where they don't wear masks because it invades their civil, it affects their civil rights. Those of us who weren't secular said, oh, well, what do you expect? How about we cut the smug? We're starting this three-week period. Let's reflect a little more. Silence generally works. You know, it's okay with not being okay. We are experiencing something in our lifetime, okay, that we haven't experienced before. And the thing that makes it truly okay is that we are in it together. None of us are living under a government that is working at full steam, that is working well. I don't know. Remember those three words, the most important words? I don't know, or tell me more. I love you also works, but that's not for now. Okay, let's just get on with this three-week period that I do want to touch upon because it's very important. It is going to indeed flavor both the show and keep your eyes on Israel. It always starts in the summer. Of course, it always starts in beach season when we want to go out to the beach. But this year, we can't go anyway. Between the COVID and the jellyfish, Meduzot, we're not going out. We're not leaving. So the 17th day of the Hebrew month of Tammuz, that's today, it's a fast day. It's a day where a lot of tragedies and pitfalls happened. Traditionally believed that it's the same day that Moses broke the original Ten Commandments tablets. Okay, remember, he came down and found everybody worshiping the golden calf. Sounds familiar to today. And he smashed them and had to go up again. It's the same day that the edict came down from the Roman rulers forbidding sacrifices to be made in the second temple. The heartbeat, the lifeblood, so to say, of who we are. It's when the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, I can see them from my window, they were breached. This attack led to the destruction of the temple 3 weeks later. Just one thing you should know for Jews who don't know yet and for non-Jews who are interested in who we are and what we do. Traditionally, during these 3 weeks culminating in Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, these are when we take on several mourning customs, similar to when we count the Omer after Passover. We don't have any weddings for the next 3 weeks, no parties, no public celebrations are held. Although it's Israel, there probably will be many public demonstrations. That's a joke. Okay, some people abstain from getting haircuts and shaving. You should see my hair studio where I work is still covered with hair, including that of my husband who did lots of head shaving last night. Some people also refrain from going to concerts or listening to music during this period. And when we get closer, we will talk about the 9 days. Okay, wow, we're running out on time already. How much when we have so much fun? Good morning. Wow, Finland, Indonesia have joined us. Very exciting and even more exciting. Good morning, Saudi Arabia. It's an honor to have you listening in. All right. Okay. Coronavirus symptoms that no one talks about. We talk about the dry throats. We talk about the headaches. We talk about the body weakness. We talk about the post-corona symptoms, which are more frightening in many ways than the things that we already know about. The ongoing disease, the memory loss, the possible ability of the body to absorb medication. But what is a loss? Think about it. I don't know what's going on in the Western press. Here they're talking about how many Israelis were left jobless, desperate by this pandemic. nothing left to lose. Their day-to-day life has not returned to normal. It's not a matter of not going to the gym and having to wear a mask when you go to garbage. It take out the garbage. It's a loss of hope. Prior to today, we were all in the same boat. But some Israelis today don't even care about the virus anymore. They're just trying to find a reason to get up in the morning. There's a second wave happening, my friends. It's depression. There's anxiety. When we come back after this, we're going to talk about possible things to do, how to help one another. We're not going to fix it, but we might shed some light. This is Andrea Simintov. See you on the other side.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. Pull up a chair. Pull up a futon. All right. Here we go. So I've taken off my glasses so I can be more intense. Okay. So we were talking about the second wave of depression, this anxiety. I think I had mentioned last week that my husband was sent back into what we lovingly refer to as bidud. Bidud is quarantine in Hebrew. Don't know the source. Don't really care. And I remember one night, this chipper guy that I married. I married him because he was, you know, kind of upbeat and chipper. That was the only reason. Yeah. And he said, if I have to do this again, I will go mad. And this was very, very frightening to me because I count on him. I count on him being upbeat when I face the blues, on him, you know, seeing that half glass half full. That's, he's a half glass. It's very early in Israel. I haven't had the coffee. I'm fasting. The glass half full guy. But it was very clear that it's good to be doing things together. And it is very bad. It just exacerbated the sense of isolation, of being being apart, while other people were at least pretending to go through the dances, the motions of living life as it is. Up until this week, I think we're in almost full shutdown across the country. Not so much. I mean, they're having weddings, but I think now the weddings are being limited to 50 people at a wedding. I think the restaurants are all closed now. Certainly no cinemas. Certainly no public concerts. None of that is going on. I know indeed the city of Beitar Elit over in Gush Etzion, not far from me, not far from Beit Shemesh, that's under complete lockdown. If you know of any other lockdowns, put it into the chat room. And came across I wasn't sent it from the Washington Post this week. An article was written. And it was an article about grief. I suddenly can't remember the name of the writer. I know I have it in here. I'm a college graduate. I still have this. I think you're entitled to all the news. It was an article about grief, getting through. Oh, Terry Caliber. Caliber. And anyway, Terry Caliber, he lost his partner, a very public, a very ugly, a very shocking public suicide. I think it was about 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. But anyway, so Terry talks about grief, and there's all kinds of loss, and I found this very interesting. I found this very interesting as a Torah observant Jew who, you know, we have a place to everything. There is a season, and we celebrate and we mourn. And one of the things he writes is that there are no right or wrong ways to go through traumatic loss. But given how many people are struggling with their own grief today as a result of the pandemic, and I wanted to share a few things. Anyway, one of the things that Terry says, a very simple line, and he says, don't fight grief, surrender to it. I'd like to add my Andrea point. Yeah, I'm dropping pens. Okay. It is good to surrender to feelings, give in to them, but don't give them a crown and scepter. Put time limits on it. If we're going to cry, cry. In Judaism, we mourn. We're not allowed to say prayers until our loved one is actually buried. Once they're buried, we mourn for 7 days publicly together. Then we quietly mourn for 30 days, a period called the Shloshim. Then there is the year, where in that year we go to work, we dress, we put on makeup, we indeed bathe. Thank you very much. But we don't attend weddings because we are a mourner. We have a special status. Many of us are mourning these days, mourning the belief, the memory, the things we took for granted. Getting up, go to the gym, meeting a friend for coffee, browsing the makeup aisles, sitting on the beach, going in the water, skipping stones. Need I go on? All of us are on a journey. But if we only feel our own suffering, we're not using it. We need to feel the suffering of others. We're in the depths of something so terrible right now. So again, unprecedented. We have this opportunity. So I'd like to just throw out a thought. Okay, we talk each week. I told you that I'm reading to my grandchildren twice a week. I try it twice a week. I read to them on Zoom. And they're all over the world, and they're all different ages. And they're getting a little bit bored of the Polk Street School Mysteries. I did that. I did a lot of Amelia Bedelia. You know the drill. And then suddenly yesterday morning, I said, you know, what would I do with them if they were sitting in my living room today and I was doing 100 different things? So I had to actually think about what I would do. I'd probably make a salad with them because I'm always cooking. And I thought, well, that could get messy. I really don't want to do that via Zoom, bring, you know, cucumbers into my studio. And then I thought we would draw pictures. And I just took a big board and I put up and I taught everybody how to draw a rabbit. There's so much we could do. And then I thought to myself, I thought about these people who literally don't know whether to get up in the morning. What do I have? And yesterday I decided to give a piece of my business, something I do. I gave it away for free yesterday to one person. I give haircuts. It's no secret. I give haircuts. And a woman came to me this week and she said her husband isn't working. She's not working, but her kid really needs a haircut. So she was going to buy her child's haircut, but not her. And she says, I could put my hair in a ponytail for the baby. I said to her, come with clean hair. And I've made a decision how many of them. All of us have something that we can give. We all have something we can give every hour. If we could say, today I'm going to make that phone call, one phone call a day, one uncomfortable phone call a day, one outreach to a person that we've kind of lost touch with that day, even if they say, where the hell have you been? I'm angry at you because you've done the job. There's so much we can give. And that's the question. What can I give today? Imagine if everybody listening to the show and listening to the podcast does one thing every day beyond their comfort zone. Imagine how many lives will be affected. It's just staggering. Okay, we talked about that. Let's talk about something fun, okay? I was going to talk about Noam Chomsky. Yeah, not so much. All right, J.K. Rowling, Noam Chomsky. This is a good one. This one I love. Love it. Remember last week I talked about the garbage man? Of course, I've forgotten his name this week. The guy who collected garbage and his brother collected garbage and his brother remained a garbage man in order to free or contribute the money and the time and the resources that his younger, brilliant brother should should have to go to Harvard, and now he's in Harvard Law School. Of course, I can't remember the name. Listen to last week's podcast. This one, I love this story. The title of the article is Save a Life, Walk Your Daughter Down the Aisle. Jody Damrow. Anybody hear about Jody Damrow? Where does she live? I think she was Nebraska. Okay, good morning, Nebraska. Jody Damrow was just doing what comes naturally for a veteran, emergency room nurse, right? We all know these heroes dressed in their scrubs, wearing the masks, the stuff around the neck, these tired, you know, tireless, committed individuals, these heroes in our ERs around the room. Jody Damrow had a day off. What was she doing on her day off? She was going to her daughter's wedding. I saw the picture. Her hair looked great. Dress gorgeous, a little bit, you know, the kind of coffee cream with the sequin. We know the look. Kathy, you're listening in. I love the look. Anyway, she was headed to her daughter Haley's ceremony. I think it was last weekend, maybe last Sunday, last Saturday, when she came across a nasty two-car pileup about a mile from her home near the Nebraska-Kansas border. And so the bride, the Kala Kaylee, was quoted saying, "My mom was on her way to my wedding when she witnessed a terrible accident. Being an ER nurse, 35 plus years, she sprang into action and helped save a life." Apparently, Damrow, our hero of the day, kept a woman's airway open while they waited for paramedics to arrive. She called a life flight helicopter to the scene, wearing her stiletto heels, her sequin gown, and the stunning, you had to see the hair, I'm not kidding. People were talking about this lady wearing gloves and a pretty dress who was saving lives. My mom said she was really just careful not to get blood on her dress because she knew that, like, in about an hour, she had to walk me down the aisle. Damrow arrived about 10 minutes before the wedding, apparently not a hair out of place. "I'm sorry I'm late. I had to save a life," she told Haley and the Omaha World Herald. Reportedly, only my mom, Nurse Jody. Our hero. We love you, Nurse Jody. Welcome. Okay. Oh, such a funk. 72. COVID. We're in lockdown. Let's see. Do I have anything else exciting to talk about? Oh, yeah. Here's a bunch of creeps. I say, with 2 minutes left, 1 minute left. All right. You know that I only put a happy spin on Israel. I only talk the good stuff. Oh, Israel's so great. Oh, come home to Israel. Oh. Here are the jerks of the week of Israel. A bat mitzvah with over 1,000 guests. Those of us, it's very not politically correct. It's a certain segment of arrogant chutzpah. What about me, Israeli society? Write to me privately. I'll tell you who they are. And not just did this bat mitzvah have 1,000 maskless, mingling, laughing, social distance, not me, guests, but it was attended by Israeli celebrities. Ayel Golan, I'm naming them, Moshe Peretz, Lior Narkis. And the police, are they in the pockets? We're handing out masks, but they didn't want to ruin the simcha. Andrea Cimento, see you on the other side.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. Andrea Simonjo, pull up a chair. All right. You know you're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. Facebook.com, the only place your computer needs to be set, after Facebook, of course. And so I told you we have this. Just drop me a note. It'll be in the show notes when you listen, when you go into the station, the webpage. You'll see under the notes for Israel, for my show, there will be a note, a connection that you can drop me, and I will send you my contentment checklist, the thing that really keeps me just so relaxed. You hear how calm I am? Okay. Well, that Andrea, I'd like to wake up to her every day. All right. I think my husband is in the bedroom in a mild coma. He's hiding. Okay. So this is the Parsha. I'm very happy the Torah has caught up now because we have different Parshas, different Torah portions. So this is a Thursday morning show. Very exciting because I feel the weight of the responsibility helping us together sort of await Shabbos Thursday in Israel. To those, not even to those of us who are only observant, but even for those of us who aren't, you could sort of feel Shabbos in the air. It's winding down. The fruits and vegetables are just that much more beautiful today. There's a little bit more of a bustle, even during in our markets where we're practicing social distancing. The challahs are starting to come out, the challah breads and the berakis and all of the cookies, the cakes, all the things that I'm not allowed to eat. Okay, so this Torah section is the story of Pinchas. I was trying to figure out, maybe the producer, the engineer can tell me, is Pinchas, and you know, I only use the Hebrew terminology. Moses is Moshe, Aaron is Aharon. Is Pinchas Phineas? I tried to find it. I don't know who it is in the, I don't have a non-Jewish Bible here. Okay. Anyway, so the Lord promises Pinchas that the most valuable and the most constantly elusive gift, what is that thing? We wish you shalom. We wish you peace. The blessings of the covenant of peace. When has the world really known peace? We aspire for it. We want it. We dream it. But what? We sit knee deep. Strife, conflict, war, violence. Hello. This is what the staples of human existence are from the beginning of time. Historians, teachers, professors, rabbis, ministers, social scientists, all of them maintain that war and violence are just natural consequences, a constant state of human affairs. So like this promise of peace to Pinchas, doesn't it seem, I don't know about you, but it seems a little bit extravagant, especially since it appears that Pinchas has earned his reward of peace by committing an act of terrible violence, real brutality. I think I've shared this with you. I spend my days during coronavirus cleaning my house, folding laundry, arranging my studio. I listen to headsets. This doesn't really belong in the Parsha section, but I feel that we're very close. I listen to murder mysteries all the time, podcasts. I listen to Dateline NBC. I mean, Dateline, it's called... what is it? Once Upon a Crime, Crime Junkie, Motive for Murder. My husband's very, that's why he's in bed now, because I listened to something last night and I think he's frightened. He doesn't know what I have planned. Anyway, so I think about Pinchas, the act he committed, stabbing two individuals involved in a lustful act, stabbed them in cold blood, piercing his sword, his bayonet, through the two writhing bodies. And he earns this reward of peace? Can we say that a time of peace is merely an absence of war, a negative state of being that only marks the time between wars and continuing violence? You know, sugar is not the antidote to salt. If your recipe is too salty, putting sugar in is not going to make your soup better. We're all aware of how hard it is to achieve peace, how fragile the existence is when, you know, obviously sometimes it is achieved. Just as I said earlier, to reach out and make those phone calls, to try to touch base with people that we've lost touch with, it's not a guarantee that it's all going to be huggy, you know, peace, love, and Woodstock. But somehow our act, our involvement in peace is the only thing that matters. in this parsha, when they describe Pinchas being awarded this forever peace, this eternal peace, the vav, the letter vav in the word shalom, is broken and incomplete. The reason it's broken is because it wasn't unconditional. It is flawed. Of course, there's a very perplexing issue regarding him. He participated in the wars that Israel conducted against Midian, later on against the Canaanites in the land of Israel during the times of Joshua and the judges. So where's the promise of peace then in the life of Pinchas himself? He's a warrior, let alone the lives of the future generations. Many commentators to the Torah, they defined God's promise of peace to Pinchas and his descendants as being a personal, individual state of inner being, what we call being at peace with oneself. Undoubtedly, Pinchas is, there's no question, he's very disturbed by the act of violence. Oh, I'm sorry, I lost my place in my notes. Oh, Andrea, you're so real. Act of violence that he committed. He didn't feel holy about it. He didn't feel kosher about it. He also knew that he was subjecting himself to widespread criticism of his actions. Nevertheless, it's our God in heaven telling him he did the right thing. History later is going to thank him for his boldness, his alacrity, look it up, in stemming the tide of immorality that threatened to overwhelm the Jewish people. An immorality that threatens us today, that we still fall subject to. So Pinchas, he acquires through Hashem's blessing this peace of mind, this necessary conflict that he will always struggle with, but still secure in his inner conviction of having committed an act that both heaven and history will deem justifiable and correct, even if currently it's unpopular in the eyes of much of society. Something I've always struggled with, and still today, but it behooves me to put it out and to say that President Harry Truman, he was reported to have said that he lost little sleep over the atomic bombing of Japan, the bombing that indeed ended World War II, because he believed that he had saved millions of American and Japanese lives by that world-shattering decision. He never again agonized over that decision. It's reported that he gained inner peace. Our conscience always disturbs us when we make the wrong decisions and pursue failed policies. I myself know I have two or three hanging secrets in my inner Tupperware, things that I really cannot come to peace with, that will take me, please God, the rest of my long life to revisit and think about and maybe indeed address. It plagues us like it plagues me when we've behaved incorrectly. Pinchas receives a blessing and a reward. In the word shalom, as I said, you know, the vav, as it's written in the Torah, is split and cracked. He's not granted this full blessing of peace, but rather a diminished portion of it. It's because his heroics involved violence, the taking of human life, albeit in a just and holy cause. Peace obtained through violence and the death of others, even if they're necessary, justified, it's going to be tarnished, it's going to be flawed, it's going to be cracked, it's going to be split. Pinchas is completely vindicated. He's rehabilitated by the Torah. But there's always a lingering resentment against his act of boldness and zealotry. This I loved. I must get this in. Rabbi Benzion Firer, in his book, Higyonah Shel Torah, The Logic of the Torah, provides a very interesting perspective. Why is he the only zealot to receive a peace prize? Why aren't the tribe of Levi and the judges of Israel commended for their zealousness? Here's the distinction. He was rewarded not only for his zealousness, but for the fact that he stood up alone against the forces of sin. destruction. When he fought on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God in heaven, not even Moshe or Aaron stood by his side. The zealousness and the courage entitled Pinchas to this reward of peace. It's very fitting that a reward for standing alone for your convictions is the ability to pray for peace and unity on behalf of others. This trait of courageous zealousness was learned from our father, Avraham ha'Ivri, Abraham the Hebrew. Ivri, the word Ivri or Hebrew, means the other side. All the world was on one side, while our father, Abraham, was on the other. Indeed, it's in our DNA to be contrary, to be argumentative, to go to law school. The Kitzke Rebbe makes the point that although Pinchas, in the end, acted correctly, such actions proved fatal to any chances for him to become the next leader of the Jewish people, which fell ultimately upon Yehoshua, Joshua. Once he killed, Moshe thought that he would succeed him as leader. But his zealotry invalidated him because he didn't practice moderation. Andrea Cimento from Jerusalem. Have a happy and moderate Shabbat Shalom.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Norris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.